Deuteronomy chapter 21. We'll take a break out of the Gospel of Mark, and we will look in Deuteronomy 21 here for just a moment. We'll get to that here. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we want to thank the Lord for the freedoms that we have. I understand a lot of our freedoms may look like, feel like, and in reality be being infringed on. But I am thankful to the Lord that I get to live in America. And amen. A lot of things about America I don't like, but it beats living in Afghanistan. You can say amen right there. It beats, amen, it's still better than Russia. Amen. Tony Hudson say Russia. Amen. It's still better than, you say you want them America first. America's got to be number one. Amen. Amen. I am. And we owe what we are, what we have. America ain't been perfect. You can bring me all the bad stuff that was and is. Amen. I still wouldn't trade where I live for anywhere else on God's earth. And we owe what we have and the freedoms we still have to those who paid that ultimate sacrifice in war and in battle. And I understand every war America's ever fought, it ain't always been just. There's been a lot of underhanded things go on. But I'm telling you, that ain't no fault of any soldier that has served and has gone and done and paid those ultimate sacrifices. And so if you have served and you're here today, please know that I, as the pastor on behalf of the church, we want you to know we're thankful for your service. And some of you that are here today, there's no way we could even comprehend things that you've seen and experienced. And I've become more and more aware of that the older I've got. And just know that we love you and we're praying for you. And trust the Lord to be good to you. So if you meet, and I know there's a Veterans Day that we do that, but I don't think we can do it too much in these days. And on Memorial Day, thank somebody that served, because you don't know who they left on a battlefield or somebody that they're maybe in grief over that did pay that ultimate sacrifice. And you'll never know because they won't talk about it to you. Amen. This is just a side note. They, some of these guys, I can't stand stolen valor stuff. You won't get me fired up. You let somebody go talking about they did this and they did that, and they didn't even do a thimbleful of what they want you to think they did. There are men and women that have served our country in the military, and I'm not cussing when I say this, but they, as it were, have been through hell and back. And I'm telling you, you ought to be grateful for that in these days. Amen. Well, I'd have thought we'd have run aisles on that this morning. Amen. Some of y'all, you don't appreciate the nation that you're in. Amen. All you can see is the dirt, and there's a lot of dirt to be seen, but it's still a wonderful, wonderful nation. Amen. Show me one better and I'll brag on it like I do this one. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 21. I want to preach the gospel this morning. And in fact, I am preaching on, y'all want the title? Amen. Here's what we're preaching on today, the gospel in Deuteronomy. You say, preacher, there ain't no gospel in Deuteronomy. Well, I hope you'll see it when we get done this morning. Now here's what I can guarantee. I'm going to read some verses here in a minute. And Brother Mike, the verses I read, you're going to go, they ain't no gospel in those verses. Will you promise me you stay with me for just a little bit? I told my girls last night, I said, I got a good little message I'm going to preach. I said, I think I can do it in 30 minutes. And they started laughing on the couch like Mark's doing on the pew over there right now. But I want to try to give it as quick as we can, and we'll go get on something else here through the afternoon. Deuteronomy 21, stand with me if you're willing and able to do so. Deuteronomy 21. The Bible said, if a man have, verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, or that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of this city and unto the gate of his place. They shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man, verse 22, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. The parenthetical statement that is injected here is, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, I understand you're used to when we get the end of the chapter, we start reading and go into preaching, but I want to read further. Because as Moses would have been given this, he did not say, chapter 21, verse 18, read to verse 23. And in the thought, this is a continuous message. It goes into the next chapter where the Bible said, chapter 22, verse number 1, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it. Notice this next phrase, and thou shalt restore it to him again. And in like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's which he hath lost and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. And so I want to preach out these verses this morning. I'll bring you to how we get to this thought, but just simply on the gospel in Deuteronomy. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we need your help. Help beyond what we can give to these people in and of ourselves. I need help. They need help. We need a word from God. We need stirred in our soul as you have through the singing and the message of the songs today. Would you take your word today and, Lord, speak to our heart and give us that we need from the Lord. I pray the saved would be excited in their soul and in their spirit and in their mind and in their thoughts over the glorious salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every sinner that's here this morning on the sound of our voice. Some maybe that are watching the live stream, be it now or, Lord, in some day or week that is to come. I pray, Father, Lord, they would be brought to conviction, understanding the sinner they are, the price that Jesus paid, and the salvation that is offered through the message of the gospel to them today. Lord, I pray, Lord, more than anything, as was our prayer early this morning, help us, O God, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be seen and we not. May, Lord, he be magnified and we be made small. We pray, Lord, alongside John the Baptist, may Jesus increase and we decrease today. Lord, in that, Lord, I pray you'd be glorified and honored and pleased, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. We don't preach much from the book of Deuteronomy. Some we have, in fact, two messages already this year, and that may would be more than most churches will hear in a given year. But we come to the book of Deuteronomy, a few things we could maybe say or just throw out by way of introduction, just simply noting that it is the fifth book of Moses, collectively known, Genesis through Deuteronomy, known to you and I as the Pentateuch, or in Judaism, they would call it the Torah. Deuteronomy simply means, Brother Mike knows this, the second giving of the law. The second giving of the law would be the meaning of the name that is born upon this book, Deuteronomy, the second giving, or the giving of the law again, and is Moses' preparation of Israel to enter into Canaan land. They're now at the end of their 40-year wandering. Moses is going to be taken to be with God. Joshua is going to lead Israel into Canaan land. And this is Moses' final preparation of the children of Israel for their Canaan land conquest. In this book, the Lord gives through Moses instruction for their moral, social, religious, worship, and family lives. It is God's giving of the law again that they might know how to live once they come into Canaan's land. When they inherit the land, when they conquer the land, when they settle down in the land, the book of Deuteronomy will be their guide for how they're to live in that land. And the Lord, through Moses, is going to cover, all sorts of things. He's going to let them know. He's going to let them know about idolatry and adultery and rebellion, as we read this morning and even in the text. He's going to remind them of civil law and moral law and religious law. He's going to give them some dietary laws, how they're to live by it, and the food they ingest. He's going to call upon them and communicate to them through the book of Deuteronomy both blessings and cursings. He's going to communicate to them do's and don'ts. He's going to give them and communicate to them through the book of Deuteronomy, preparing them and challenging them for what lies ahead, both with exhortations and rebukes. And so the book of Deuteronomy is very vital to our knowledge of the Word of God. It takes that place where we find in our understanding of the Word of God that at transitional time of Israel being brought out of the wilderness and into Canaan's land, this is the stepping stone that is going to bridge them into that next phase of their journey. However important this second giving of the law was and even is to this very day to Judaism and the Jews, I want you to understand this morning that there is a greater theme, there is a greater message in the book of Deuteronomy, as is the case with all the Word of God, that only the spiritual eye can see. And there are things contained in the book of Deuteronomy that goes beyond the second giving of the law. It goes beyond earthly and natural Israel and natural Judaism. That goes beyond the rituals and the religion and the worship life of the Jewish people. There is something that is far greater that the Spirit of God can bring a man into knowledge of. You say, preacher, what is the greater theme? What is the greater message? And I want to just throw it out there to you dogmatically. I will not say I'm sorry to anybody for saying this, but the greater theme and the greater message, amen, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. We understand this as Jesus taught from and beginning at Moses, he revealed through Moses and beginning at Moses things that he accomplished in the gospel message. How do we know this? Let me read a couple of verses, several verses to you out of the last chapter of Luke 24. And this is after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And he's going to encounter some of his disciples along the way as they are slow of heart. They are despondent in faith, having not had all this quite line up in their heart just yet.
But Christ joins himself to them in Luke 24. And the Bible said in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Later on in the text, those two disciples that at Christ would speak from Moses, beginning at Moses, and speak to and reveal to them things that Christ had done right out of the writings of Moses. They're going to return to the other disciples and they're going to say, we met a man on the way, and the more he spake and the more he took the scripture and the more he expounded from the writings of Moses, our hearts burned in us. There were things excited in us and passions that were stirred in us. This could only be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they go back, and in the midst of why they're communicating that, the Lord appears again to the whole of the crowd. And in Luke 24, the Bible said in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written, listen, in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And so, Brother Riley, two occasions after Christ died, was buried, and raised again, it is said specifically that the Lord took the writings of Moses and showed his people this is the greater theme and the greater message. It was more than rules to live by. It was more than do's and don'ts and blessings and cursings and exhortations and rebukes. This was more than just preparation for entrance into Canaan land. Everything Moses said had a greater theme and a greater message and a greater purpose. He was writing about what I would accomplish. Amen. And so this morning we find that there is the gospel message contained in, amen, contained in the book of Deuteronomy. And so we think about that today. We want to preach on from the verses we've read. I believe we could go maybe throughout all the book of Deuteronomy and find something related to the gospel today. But there's something that stands out to me this morning in the verses that we have read. And they may seem like various and random laws, but I'm interested this morning in the sequence and the substance of this text and these verses, this giving of the law that Moses gave. I want to show you through the substance and sequence of it, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so watch and follow along with me this morning. It's not our goal maybe to expound upon this all the way through. We want to kind of step back and see some truths this morning. And so we're dealing with the subject of the gospel in Deuteronomy. Amen. Amen. Notice with me, number one, we see in this text the son that is rebellious. In the beginning of the verses that we read, the Bible said, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. And so we have a son that has rebellion and foolishness bound up in his heart. And he's become a sort of heartbreak to the lives and the hearts of his father and to his mother. We find that he has been given instruction, Brother Jack, as the Word of God said, they have chastened him. They have set him down and they have told him what is right and wrong. They have told him what is pleasing to God and what is not. And the word chasten, it can mean to punish corporally, but even greater than that, there is the communication of instruction of what is right and is wrong. And this rebellious son is turned away from that. And it brings this rebellious son and even the father especially into a predicament that is going to be exercised against him. If he will not straighten up, if he will not return to what is right, then my friend, there is capital punishment that awaits this a son that is rebellious. And you say, preacher, where is the gospel in that? I want you to understand that in this son we find a picture of all mankind as sinners in rebellion against God. We, my friend, can all identify with this rebellious son. For all of us were born after the flesh. And Jesus said, whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh. And the flesh is in enmity with God. It's in rebellion against God. It is not going forward to God and wants to know God. It is born going astray and away from God. And so, my friend, the word of God would declare naturally of a child. And foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, bound up in his fleshly nature, bound up in that rebellion against God and his law. And so this morning it is no, it doesn't, now you may not want to admit it, but the fact of the matter is it's not hard for every one of us to put ourselves in this text as the son or the daughter that is rebellious. Notice with me this morning some things about the son that is rebellious likened to that of sinners. I see here the preferment of the rebel. The Bible said if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. And we think about rebellion at its very core. What is rebellion? Rebellion is when someone wants to go their own way. When someone rejects the authority of another. And may I say this morning, that is where sinners are. That is the rebellion that is manifest in a sinner's heart, is that the sinner wants to go their own way. A sinner is not interested in the authority of God. He's not interested in the instruction of the Word of God. He doesn't care about what God thinks to be right or wrong. And there is a preferment in the heart of every sinner, and I will have my own way. Isaiah 53 said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone unto his what? His own way." And so this morning, that is what rebellion is. It is the heart of the sinner of preferring his own way above the way of God. And so God in his law said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou, and all the thou shalt and shalt not, said, and God is plainly stated in his word. And yet we born as sinners have a nature about us in which we prefer our own way to the way of God. The preferment of the rebel. Notice with me the pronouncement of the rebel. We find here in the text that this son that is rebellious being a picture of all of us as sinners, the Bible said, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out into the elders of his city and under the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders in this city, this our son is stubborn, rebellious, he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And you imagine living in them days, and you imagine living under that economy in which the responsibility for calling out the rebellion of a son that knows right from wrong but doesn't do right from wrong is laid upon the father and the mother, the parents, the authority to call it out and to lay hold on him. And yet we find in this this pronouncement of the rebel that his sin, his rebellion, his stubbornness, and even the specifics of what he is doing being that of gluttony and drunkenness. this, that they are called out. There's a pronouncement in which he is called out against his own sin. We think about he's called out, he's laid hold of, and ultimately his authority is going to indict him for the rebel that he is. I think about this in the life of a sinner. Hey, I say this morning that God has a pronouncement against all of us. Here's what he has pronounced in his word. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. He said there is none good, no, not one. God, our authority, God is our creator. God is the God of the universe. He has made a pronouncement against mankind from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden when God laid the boundary clear and God gave the thou shalt and shalt not, and mankind chose to rebel against what God had told him and preferred his own way and the devil's way and the flesh his way, then he preferred the way of God, and now God has made a pronouncement against all mankind. How we doing this morning? Hey man, I'm telling you, he got under the law, the Father had to be very specific and call out the very indictments that were against his own rebellious side. He said he is a glutton and he is a drunkard. This is a man who has no control over his own desire. He has no concern for God. He'd rather satisfy his own belly. He'd rather satisfy his own lust for strong drink and spirits. And the idea is simply this, that there are desires within this son of mine, and in his rebellion, he is willing to do anything and everything he can to have his own rebellious way. Amen. What a picture of the sinner. What a picture of you and I. This morning, born in sin, born after the flesh, born with a rebellion that is seated within the heart and the mind and the conscience of man, whereby even God himself in the world said, well, God is love, and God loves everybody, and God does love everybody. And God is love. Just as that father would have loved his rebellious son, he had to stand against his son's rebellion and his son's sin, and he had to call it out. And so God today stands against humanity, and calls humanity in rebellion, stands against God. Amen, amen, that's right. And so, my friend, we live in a world where you go pronouncing sin and rebellion, the specifics of it that are in the lives of men and women. Our society is plagued with rebellion against God. And if you'll speak in general terms and just talk about, you have a need of God in your life, nobody gets mad. But you go calling out, you shouldn't be shacking, that's sin against God. You go preaching against premarital physical relationships and they get mad. And you begin to preach against, amen, drunkenness and putting a bottle of intoxicating drink to your lips is a sin against God. And you begin to preach against pornography and fornication. And you begin to pronounce and call out to people what God has called out. And they'll say things like this, do you think you're the judge over me? You can't judge me. Judge not, lest you be judged. The most misapplied verse in all the King James Bible in our society. Amen. The fact of the matter is, I ain't nobody's judge. Amen. Pastor Philbank said, I ain't the judge. I'm just telling you what the judge said. And the judge has made a pronouncement, amen, against the rebellion of mankind. Amen, I can't help it if you're in sin against God. Amen, the fact of the matter is, amen, we are all born as that son that is rebellious. Notice the punishment of the rebel. under the law and in the text, the Bible said, and all the men of the city, of his city, shall stone him with stones, and he dieth. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And so we're talking about a son that is rebellious. And in this son, we're all found as mankind, as sinners in rebellion against God. What is the payment for rebellion? What is the punishment that is coming to us? Because we are rebels and stubborn and sinful. Amen. Listen, here's the picture. Here's the gospel in Deuteronomy. And the death penalty is the only thing that can be exacted upon him. Amen. And this rebellious son, don't miss this, he is worthy of such punishment. He is worthy of such punishment. Reformation won't change things for him. You can't reform his life. You can't educate him out of his rebellion. You can sit him down in a classroom, educate him, and give him degree after degree of his after his name, and all you will have is an educated rebel. You can sit him down and teach him some coping techniques and teach him how to do this or that with his hands or with his occupation. And all you'll have is a rebel that is doing his best to function in society. At the end of the day, he's still a rebel. And at the end of the day, the most worthy thing that can happen, the most just thing that can happen against any rebel is that they be put to death. Amen. Poor Sam, he had never made it under this context. And the reason I say that, y'all think I'm mocking Sam. I'm not mocking Sam. I know who his daddy is. His daddy wouldn't live long enough to get married and have his sorry tale. Are y'all listening? I'd have been the rebellious son stoned. And then I probably wouldn't have got there because I know who my daddy is. And amen, he'd have been stoned too. Amen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, and then at the end of the day, if you're here and you've never been saved, or you have been saved, recollect in your mind that we hear people in society say, well, it's not fair God would judge us. It ain't fair that God would put us in hell. I'm telling you, you better pray to God, amen, and get saved. Because if God has to treat you on the basis of fairness and justice, the fact of the matter is the most worthy thing we deserve is the eternal punishment of Almighty God. Amen. It's got to be put away out of his sight. It's got to be put away. There is no thing that is going to defile and will ever enter my friend heaven's yonder shore. I'm telling you, there is nothing, John said, in that glorious land that is to come and is going to enter that is going to defile. And so rebellion must be punished. Unbelief is rebellion. Adultery is rebellion. And drunkenness is rebellion. And lying is rebellion. And the only thing God can do with rebellion is punish it.
That's right.
Amen. Number two. See, the gospel has good news, but it does have bad news. The bad news is we is all born in sin, all born going astray, all born rebels by nature, and all born as that rebel deserving and worthy of the judgment of God. Notice the next section. Amen. How we doing?
Amen.
Boy, I'm not going to hit that 30-minute mark. Amen. I am too. I got a few more minutes. Watch this. I see the son that is a rebel. Notice with me. Now, we're looking at the sequence now. It seems to be various. It seems just, Brother Larry, to be a random thing. But notice what follows the son that is rebellious is what we'll call, Brother Mike, the symbol that is revealed. He comes now again. He doesn't entirely leave the thought of someone being worthy of death, somebody being so rebellious and out of sort against God and His law, that the only thing you can do is kill him. And so he said, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, then thou hang him on a tree. And so the rebellious son is to be stoned. But now we come to a very particular form of capital punishment that God would give to Israel to use, and that was death by hanging on a tree. Amen. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. And again, notice the parenthetical statement, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. You say, preacher, how does this relate to the gospel message? Well, these verses are eternally tied to the Lord Jesus Christ by way of what Peter said in Acts 5:30 when he was speaking to the Jews. He said, he was talking about Christ, and he said of Christ, whom ye have slew and hanged on a tree. You slew him and hanged him on a tree. And that is what the message of Moses is in Deuteronomy 21. And Peter's saying, you treated him as though he had committed a sin that was worthy of such a death. How this is tied to Christ is found in Paul's writing the church and believers of Galatia. I hope you're with me this morning. Amen. In Galatians chapter number 3 and in verse 11 and following, Paul said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, it's clear that you cannot fix your rebellion by reforming to the law. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, see if this sounds familiar, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Paul, in that moment of time, Brother Maurice, he eternally tied the Lord Jesus Christ to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. He said, you heard it written, you've read it written, you know what God said, you know what Moses prayed, and it is a man that is accursed of God who is hung and crucified. Amen. That the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here's what Paul did. He tied the Lord Jesus in what he did at Calvary. You say, but preacher, we as sinners, we have committed as rebels and as rebels in mankind that have gone away from God. We have committed a sin worthy of death, yes. And we, my friend, deserve the judgment and the cursing and the being accursed from God and of God. We deserve the punishment, and that punishment was going to be ours. But thank God, even under the law, Moses gave way whereby, amen, a cross can be brought into view. And he leaves the rebellious son that is a picture of all of us, and he brings us immediately to a tree. Now listen, Paul ties Christ to this. And so we find that, and we all know, that Christ would go to Calvary and he would bear his cross and he would be nailed to the cross. He would be hanged upon the tree, as it were. And there, listen, he was not worthy of death as though he had done any sin. What happened is he stepped in and threw himself voluntarily. Can I word it this way? Amen. Isaac, you come here and And Sam, you come here. I'll use you too. All right? Isaac, you get to be the rebel and the sinner and the vile man that you are. All right? You get to be... No, you be over here. You be the rebel and the vile sinner. I need somebody else to play this part. Amen. He's going to be God. He's going to represent the law. He's the one that the law is coming to. He deserves everything the law and God is going to bring against him. I mean, he is going to pour out all of his fury on him. Here's what Jesus did. He stepped in between. He ain't done anything. He hadn't committed any sin. Pilate said, I've found no fault in him. And yet the one who is not worthy of death, a one that had not committed anything worthy of such a cursing and a condemnation, and a cross stepped in between the sinner that did and said, I'll take it all. Bring it all on me. I'll fulfill that belongs on him. Thank you, guys. And I tell you this morning, I'm glad the Savior came to where we were. I know what I was. I know what I am in and of myself. I understand I'm saved and saying it. And in Christ, thank God, I'm perfect. And I understand the wretch that I was and that I can be, even in this very hour. And I deserve the condemnation. I deserve the curse. I deserve the cross. And thank God Jesus stepped in and said, put it all on me. That's why this crowd arguing about, well, you know, God, he doesn't judge the innocent for the guilty. He gives the guilty what they have committed. All that's good and all that's right when it comes to we're just talking about mankind. But if somebody steps in voluntarily and willingly and is not guilty in and of themselves, God exchanges what he was going to pour out on the sinner and deserved it and put it on his own innocent son. And my friend, there might be a way, a remedy in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the gospel in Deuteronomy. You say, oh, that's just random. That's just coincidence. And Moses left the rebellious son and then ran straight to a tree and a cross and a hanging and an accursing and a condemnation that Paul would later and Jesus would later tie himself to. That's just coincidence. Yeah, you keep on believing that. God was telling them a long, long time ago, we're all sinners, but I have the remedy. And what you can't do for yourself and what your parents can't do for you, I will allow my son to come and take all that on him. Oh, ain't you glad? There's hope today. There's good news from heaven's fair land. And we may be lost and we may be on the road to hell. We may be under the condemnation and facing the wrath of God. But thank God Jesus at the cross. He bore it all. He paid it all. He took it all so that you and I could have a remedy. Hallelujah, the gospel in Deuteronomy. Amen. I see the son that is rebellious. I see the symbol in the cross and the tree that is revealed that is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ in his work 2,000 years ago. Number three, and I'm done. We now move into the next part of the message, which in our English Bible is divided into a whole nother chapter, but remember, it's not separated. Oh man, I'm about to run all the way home. I'm glad it's only 100 yards that way. A son that is rebellious, a symbol that is revealed. But then Moses begins to talk about a stray that is restored. Woo, hallelujah. Moses said, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray. Is that, again, we could quote Isaiah 53 and how it's quoted in the New Testament, and we could go to other places that that reminds us that we all have gone astray. Even Jesus spake in his earthly ministry about what shepherd having 100 sheep, if he lose one, and it goes astray, and it begins to wander through the wilderness. Jesus said that the shepherd will leave the 99 in the fold, and he might go and rescue and restore the one that is lost. And so, in the son that is rebellious, we have a picture of our sinfulness. In the being cursed is everyone that hanged on a tree. Jesus hanged on a tree, and he was made a curse for you and I, and he might bring redemption, he might pay the price, and we have in him a picture of our Savior. But in Deuteronomy 22, 1 through 3, we have a picture of our salvation. Amen. He said, what has been lost and found is to be restored. He said, bring it to him again. That is lost is to be recovered. It's to be found. It's to be carried back home. It's to be brought back to the stall. Amen. It's to be brought back to the green pastures. Amen. And I say the devil kept us bound a long time. And the devil and sin and the world and even our own selves to a greater degree, no doubt, we was held up in captivity. But thank God, I'm glad there is a message in the gospel and that is gone astray when it's found and the lost is found. When the stray is rescued, and there is a restoration that is involved, whereby it is returned back to its rightful owner. Can I say that's what happened when you and I got saved? The word, verse, he said, bring them again unto thy brother. I love this. The thing that has been lost, it is being sought for. He said, if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house. And it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it. And I just say right here this morning, I'm glad the Savior's still seeking sinners. I'm glad the Lord's seeking after sinners. Oh, praise God. Amen. He's seeking. That's what Jesus said. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to restore it. I've come to bring it back again. He said, if he comes seeking after it, thou shalt restore it to him again. The word restore just simply means to return a specific thing which was lost or taken. That's what happened when I got saved. It's what happened when you got saved. God, through Jesus Christ, he returned your soul. He returned your life. He returned your eternity back to God. And though it had been lost, and though it had been taken, and though it had been nearly utterly ruined, God through Jesus Christ restores sinners through salvation. I don't know if we're getting this or not. I hope we are. Here's what I want you to understand. Candy's coming. I'm done. I didn't make it in 30 minutes, but it ain't been as long as it normally is. Amen. Boo on you, Mark. Amen. Here's what I want you to understand. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it out of the text, Brother Charlie. Between our rebellion and all that was coming to us and our day of salvation, there stands the cross of the Lord Jesus, making the bridge, bridging the divide, spanning the gulf between us and God. Does that make any sense? And it's right there
in the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. See, Calvary was no afterthought. The cross was no accident. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago was not plan B. It was plan A from before the foundation of the world. That every rebel in their sin, having the wrath of God against them, between that and their opportunity to be restored, there is a lovely cross of the Savior. I'm going to tell you what we ought to do this morning. If you're here and you're saved today, you ought to get on this altar and say, I just want to thank God one more time for the cross that He took for me. The condemnation of mind that He is eternally tied to, that He took on by way of Deuteronomy 21. And thank Him for the curse that He lifted and took off of us and put on Himself, that we could be redeemed. And to take the cross that we as Barabbas, who were guilty and worthy to die because of a sin worthy of death, yet His life was exchanged for ours. If you're here today and you're yet lost in your sin and rebellion and need a Savior, I'm telling you there's only one way that you're ever going to make it to heaven, and only one way you're going to be saved. That is, you'll have to make a trip by faith through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel throughout all the Word of God, but plainly spelled out in the gospel in Deuteronomy. Won't you stand with me? We're done today. Every head.